corner because everybody's been through a test. I said everybody in here has got a testimony because everybody in here has been through a test. I don't care what your test has been. I don't know how big it's been. But if you've been through a test and you still here, you got to give God the praise right now. Don't wait on your neighbor. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't care who's looking at you, but give God praise. Can I hear you say yes? If God's been good, say yes. Sit on down. Sit on down. The Lord is a mess. Watch this. Watch this. The Lord is a mess and his Holy Ghost. Anybody believe in his Holy Ghost? Anybody believe in this Holy Ghost? Anybody believe in the Holy Ghost? And the Holy Ghost will speak to you if you listen. Now, my homiletic professor, Dr. Roslyn Glenn. When I first started this thing, I wasn't prepared. I'll be honest with you, I wasn't. I can be honest, I wasn't prepared for this thing. And when I first started pastoring, I used to preach what I wanted to preach. I would think of a subject and go find the scripture to go with what I wanted to talk about. And that's the wrong way of preaching the word of God. The two ways you should do it. Number one, you should read your word for yourself. And then when God shows you a revelation in the word, then you preach that word. But there's another way that you can preach, Roz, and that is you can ask God what you want me to talk to your people about. And God will show you what he wants you to preach to your people about. Not my people, but his people. And so that's what I do now. I ask God every Sunday after I leave this place, what do your people need to hear next Sunday? What do you want me to talk about on your behalf next Sunday? Well, sometimes God gives me lesson plans months in advance. And God said, you need to look at the calendar, Chris, because I'm going to show you something that's going to happen on the calendar. All right. And you can't make this up. I ain't talked to Ross. I ain't talked to Erica. I ain't talked to Dr. Johnson. I love it when a principal can get happy. I love it when a principal, you know, principal's kind of, you know, little, got to be a little proper, you know. I love it when a principal can get happy and get in the Holy Ghost. I love it. And Savara, did Savara Grady, were you able to make it? I was in Savara Grady's office about 2 weeks ago. She's one of our bookkeepers and payroll. She here? And our payroll clerk at Brooklyn. And I was in her office. She got one of them big old calendars where all 3 months show up and take up the whole wall. And she has one of those calendars where it tells you not only today's date, but the date or the number day of the year. So like, for instance, January 31st is the 31st day of the year. Well, February 1st is the 32nd day of the year. And February 2nd would be the 33rd day, oh y'all got it, of the year. Today, July 1st, 2018, is the 182nd day of the year. There are 365 days in the year. At 12 noon, we would have made it halfway through the year. Turn with me to Luke 13, 6 through 9. Deacon Hargrave, good to see you, sir. I've been praying mightily for you and your wife. We've been praying for you, sir. Luke 13, 6 through 9. The King James Version of our Bible. Luke 13, 6 through 9 declares, "Then he told this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. He said unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it in the ground? And he answered, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down." He said to that gardener, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." I want to talk from the subject, even though we're halfway through this year, I'm still here. That's what I want to talk about today. Even though we're halfway through the year, I'm still here. As I told you before, it is the 182nd day on the calendar. If you make it to 12 noon, you have made it halfway through the year. And the Holy Ghost has instructed me to tell you all, don't wait till Thanksgiving. Don't wait till December. Don't wait to watch night service. Somebody need to give God praise right now just for making it 182 years. Somebody just needs to thank God that you've been through hell and hot water, that you've been through a lot already these 182 years. But just like Cena, you can tell Mr. and your enemies and everybody on your road, I'm still here. Your neighbor been through this year. You don't know your neighbor been catching hell all year. You don't know somebody on your road lost their job this year. You don't know that somebody got cancer diagnosis this year. You don't know whose child right now who's been molested. And we've had a child in our congregation molested this year. We don't know whose child is on hospice right now. You don't know who just lost their home this year. You don't know what your neighbor's going to be dressed up, but somebody had to press their way to get into the house this morning. They are depressed, they are disgusted, but they had to come into the house of the Lord one more time, and they don't need you frowning, sitting down on your butt like God ain't done nothing for you. Nobody came to give God praise. Don't wait till the battle is over. Somebody need to pray right now. Don't forsake it. Get started.
is the text.
James Cleveland declared, "I don't feel no waste time. I've come this far from where he's brought me from. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but I don't believe he's brought me this far to leave me." My brothers and my sisters, that is the testimony of the fig tree. The fig tree told the gardener, "I don't believe that God made me a fig tree not to produce no figs. If he wanted to, he could have made me grass. If he wanted to, he could have just made me a bush. If he wanted to, he could have made me a magnolia. If he wanted to, he could have made me an orange tree. But God made me a fig tree to produce figs. I realize that I have not been able to do everything God has asked me to do these past 3 years. I know the devil wants to cut me down and cut me out because I have not been able to produce what he wanted me to produce when he wanted me to produce it. But I'm still the fig tree. And God ain't through with me yet." There's somebody that might be in here who feels like you haven't been able to produce what you know you should have produced by now. There might be somebody in here who feels incomplete. Somebody in here might feel like their life is not worth living because you never finished anything. You never finished that degree. You never opened up that job. You never applied for that position. You never got that promotion because you didn't get the certificate you should have gotten because you didn't show up. But thank God, James Cleveland reminds us that God ain't through with me yet. This is the testimony of the fig tree, a tree that God planted to produce figs, a tree that God had planted to produce something. And each one of us who God has created has been created to produce something. Each one of us who has breath in our bodies has a purpose. And one of our purpose not only is to praise God, but to bring others to the fear and admonition of the Lord. It's just not my responsibility. It's just not Ron's responsibility. It's just not Eric's responsibility. It's all of us who love Jesus, who adore Jesus, who Jesus has been good to share your testimony and to produce some other fruit for Jesus, our Christ. And that's why the gardener looks at the owner, and that gardener really in the text is Jesus. And the owner is God. And Jesus says, "God, let me work on your people just a little bit more." And he says, "I just need to do two things to them, God. First thing is, I got to cut them." He says, "First thing I got to do is cut their roots." Because the gardener understands that when you cut roots, roots don't die. Help me, somebody, preach your word. When you cut roots, roots then begin to grow. Unlike us who get cut and get depressed and stay home and want a pity party, roots branch out. Because when you cut a root, it allows the root to find another source of nutrients. See, the problem is with most of us is that we think our resources are our sources. See, your job is just a resource. Your husband is just a resource. Your wife is just a resource. Your car is just a resource. Where you go to church is just a resource. But your real source is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is always looking for you to reach out. And even when you're cut, that is the opportunity for you to reach out to your real source, which is the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will feed you and provide you everything that you need to sustain your life. I ain't gonna keep you long. I know you need to get to Publix before two. And then he says, "Let me dung it." That's a nice little biblical word for "let me throw some manure on it." We were at the 4th of July cookout. I used another word, but I'm saved and sanctified. I can't use it no more. Let me throw some manure on it. Let me dung it. Let me throw something stank on it. Anybody grandma besides mine had a compost pile? Oh, y'all sadiddy. When my grandma had old cantaloupe, old watermelon rinds, and old fruit, she would throw that stuff around her pear trees and her apple trees, and she had a compost pile because she realized that when that old fruit degraded, it became nutrients for something new. And so he says, let me take the old stuff, I'm going to recycle it, put it back on the tree that ain't producing so that the tree will now produce. Stuff that used to produce that has been used up can be used to help somebody else produce something. That's why you got to share your testimony with somebody else. That's why you got to share how good God has been to you with somebody else. That's why if you are a cancer survivor, you got to help somebody else who's going through cancer. That's why if you won an election, you got to help somebody who's running for an election, because God has already used you to do something. It's your responsibility to use what you know and your knowledge to help somebody else. He said, let me throw some manure on it. And that's why sometimes you go through some stank things in life. That's why some stank folk come in your life. Always look like they smell something stank. Frowning and ain't never had a good day. I don't know how you can be a Christian never had a good day. Always going through something. Baby, if you know Jesus Christ, you got to come out someday. Yeah, you can't know the God that I know and still be depressed, still be down and downtrodden, still be broke. If you know Jesus, he'll help you find the way. If you can't find it, I'll show you how to find the way. Every now and then, you're going to go through some mess. Jesus didn't send the blind man to no optometrist. He didn't send him to Walmart. He didn't buy the blind man no medicine. He got mud, dirt, and put it on him. And every now and then some dirt gonna be thrown on you. Every now and then some mess gonna be thrown on you. Every now and then some lies are gonna be told on you. Every now and then people ain't gonna vote for you, but you still got the position. You still the principal. You still got your job. And just like sin, you're still here. In 1997, when I was in mortuary school, Eric, I began to hear strange sounds in my head. Probably been hearing them for a long time, but it really showed up. And ain't nobody told y'all to be a witness for my craziness. You undiagnosed too. I began to hear strange sounds in my head that I was supposed to preach. And I'd be honest with you, the first thing I heard, Ron, was, wouldn't it be cool to be a preacher? I don't know why I heard that first. I just thought it would be cool to be a preacher. And that faded away, but I still began to wake up at night hearing these strange sounds in my head. One day, God directed me while I was in Atlanta in mortuary school to go to the Christian bookstore. I bought Butte about $500 worth of books, Strong's Concordance to the Bible, and reading the Bible in 1 year, the life of David, the Gospels according to Matthew. And I bought all these books, and I began to peruse them, and God said, if you think you're supposed to be a preacher, I dare you to write a sermon. So one day I sat down and wrote a sermon. You know, it comes out of Acts, I think around 2:19, where God will show you signs in heaven and portents on the earth before. And the first sermon I ever wrote is entitled God's Sign Language. This was in 1997, about watching God's signs and looking at what God is doing in the atmosphere and what God is doing not only in the heavens but sometimes on earth, and make sure you're paying attention to the God factor in your life. And I talked to my mama. First person I ever told that I was hearing these strange sounds and hearing these strange visions was my mama, my Mary. Couldn't go to my daddy. He wasn't saved then. But went to my mama. And I told my mama what I was hearing. And she was small enough to say, baby, you need to talk to Pastor Jackson. And I went and had a meeting with Pastor Jackson. Never forget it in all my life. We went to this restaurant called This Is It on Garnet's Ferry Road. It's closed now. But we sat down and I gave Pastor the sermon I wrote. And if you ever met with Pastor Jackson, the first thing he always does is laugh at you. Man, you're so confused why the pastor laughing at me. I'm serious about this thing and you laughing at me. And he told me, he said, son, I never saw this in your life. And, you know, I thought you would be a politician. I thought, you know, you'd be a lawyer like your daddy. But I never saw this coming. He said, however, if it is real, you got the terry for the Holy Ghost. He said, I've got some rules and requirements if you really think you've been called. I make everybody wait 3 years and I watch them and see if they're really serious about this calling. And even after 3 years, then I wait a little bit longer before I even consider licensing them. So any of y'all think you're going to come up in this pulpit after 9 days, you've got another thing coming. So I tarried and I tarried and I started going to Bible study and started coming to church more regularly. I would find myself sitting on the front row of that old church on the Piggly Wiggly on 378, and when he would preach, I would preach. Everything he said, I would say, and I began to feel it more and more. But then I started teaching at the university, and it left me. I didn't hear the voice of God any longer because I started teaching, but that was just a substitute for the real thing. And then I met William Augustus Jones, who was our revivalist at Brooklyn, and went to, with Pastor to pick up Dr. Jones when he came his first year. And he looked at me and he said, boy, you want to be a preacher, don't you? And I lied. I wasn't no preacher yet, so I lied. I said, no, sir. He said, well, only people who want to be preachers hang out with preachers. That next year he came back, I went with Dr. Jackson and picked him up again. And he looked at me and said, have you surrendered yet? And I said, no, sir. So he said, tell me, how does it feel to disobey God? That third year he came back. He said, have you surrendered yet, boy? I said, well, Doc, I've been teaching at the university, boy, that's just a substitute for the real thing. You better come on in before God hurts you. That next year, Dr. Jones invited Pastor Jackson to be his revivalist. And I went with him to Brooklyn, New York. Bethany Baptist Church on the corner of Marcus Garvey and McDonough. And that Monday night, Pastor Jackson preached from the subject, for they had been with Jesus. And he asked the existential question, can people look at your life and tell that you had been with Jesus? And every night, that night before, I had stood up at the chancel with Dr. Jones and Dr. Jackson like I was a preacher shaking everybody's hands. I wasn't even a deacon. But after Dr. Jackson preached, they had been with Jesus, and I sat there on that front row in Bethany Baptist Church on the corner of Marcus Garvey and McDonough. Tears began to run down my chin. And I heard the voice, Ross, distinctly saying, you have no choice. You have no choice. You have no choice. Well, at this church, after revival, they have a little meal for people after revival. Let us get us our own church. I have a meal for you after revival in the fellowship hall. And I went downstairs and I sat at Dr. Jones' table just crying, just crying. And after a few minutes, Dr. Jones and Dr. Jackson came down to that table. Dr. Jones laid his hands on me and said, Charles, I think he crossed over. And it had been at that moment that I surrendered to God's calling. And after a few days of talking, Dr. Jackson and I then decided to go ahead and plan my initial sermon. And we planned that initial sermon, I think it was 2012, and I didn't send out invitations. I didn't do all what a lot of people say. There wasn't no picture of me on no programs and put it all on social media. It just was what I had to do for the Lord. And I had that initial sermon, and one day I'll never forget in all my life, One of our friends came by the funeral home, and our manager, Benjamin Piper, said, Chris is about to do his initial sermon. And that friend of mine, I ain't going to call his name because he might have some relatives in here. Matter of fact, he does have some relatives in here. And I'm going to tell you about your relative after service. He said, ain't no way in the world Chris has been called to preach. Because Chris ain't been through nothing. What type of sermon can Chris preach because he ain't gone through hell like the rest of us? He's born with a silver spoon, not only a silver spoon, but a gold spoon in his mouth. Chris has had everything made for him. Chris has had everything he's ever wanted. Chris is a spoiled, rotten kid. Ain't nowhere in the world that God has called Chris to preach. Because Chris has had it all. I said to that man, you might be right. I have had a good life. I do have two successful parents. And they have provided for my every need. So I guess my ministry will just be a ministry of thank you, Jesus. I might not have been through the hell you've been through, but I know I can give God praise for everything that I've been through in my life. I know I can tell God thank you for the good things and the wonderful things he's done. And I wonder, do I have a witness in here after 182 years, days of 2018? Does anybody have a testimony like Chris Bless Levy Johnson that God's been mighty good, that God's made a way out of no way, that I can thank God? I might not have been through what you've been through, but I've had my own trials. I've had my own valleys. I've had my own mountains. I've had my own mind messing with me. I've had my own vices. I've had my own temptations. But through it all, I said through it all. In the building this morning, that you might have been through some things already this year, but you got enough God in you to give God praise that you made it halfway through. Maybe that's why you're giving God a halfway praise right now. Do anybody know God's gonna give you all and give it all back to you and take everything that the locusts and the devil tried to steal from you? So can you give God all your praise? Give him all your virtue. Give him all your love. Somebody say thank you. Even though we've only made it halfway through the year, it's enough to pause and say, God, thank you. Let me make it real, real for you right now. It's July 1st, 2018. We have already had 289 funerals. Let me make it real for you. It ain't but been 182 days, but just my funeral home alone has had 289 funerals already this year. If you ain't one of them 289, maybe that'll make you stand up. If you ain't one of them 289, maybe that'll make you clap your hands. If you ain't one of them 289, maybe that'll make you wave your hand. I don't know what else you need to get excited about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for you. But when I think, I said when I think about the goodness of Jesus, and not one thing, not two things, not three things, but all God has done for me, I feel past hallelujah. Can I hear you say hallelujah? Can I hear you say hallelujah? Can you give God the highest praise for letting me see one more day? I'm still here. I'm still here. I'm still here. I may be black, but I'm cute. But I'm still here. I'm still here.